begin with a summary verse that I will end up concluding the sermon with. And as odd as this may seem, our lesson, our sermon today will be like, I'm going to try to be painting a series of pictures for you. And I hope that will become apparent and clear and then meaningful for you, painting this series of really word pictures as we find them in the scripture. So the title of the sermon is Favor Like the Dew. And it comes from Proverbs 19 and verse 12. A king's wrath is like the growling of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the lessons of this day. And we thank you that as we try to summarize these here in this series of word pictures, that we would see your glory, we would see your provision, we would see you blessing even us. Such that we would even be a blessing to others. But help us to be receiving, like the dew from heaven, all that you have for us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture lessons from the lectionary have all been about favor and about fellowship. They've been about peace. And they've been about reconciliation. They could have been about wrath very easily. They could have been about anger. They could have been about growling. But instead, they come down from above. And coming down from above, we saw favor and fellowship and peace and reconciliation. They come down from above like dew upon the grass. It is the resurrection that has inaugurated this new age in which we live. From our gospel lesson, remember the disciples are there huddled. It is the evening of Easter itself. They're huddled together, and they may have expected growling. They may have expected the scorching heat of God's retribution. Let's remember what happened. They all abandoned Jesus. They run away. They're scattered. Peter had denied him 3 times. They might have expected the scorching heat of God's retribution for their cowardice, for their unbelief. They're huddled there in that locked building. They might have expected maybe the vicious daggers of Jewish revenge. Maybe they expected the sword of Roman authority to come after them as well. But instead, 3 times, Jesus greets them, and they hear, as we see in slide number 1, peace be with you. No growling, no anger, no blame, no rebuke, but peace be with you. Peace be with you. And some of the parallel passages tell us the very same thing when they're locked in the room. So it's not just here in John. These are the first words that they hear when they are together from our risen Lord. Our other lessons are not so much about this top-down blessing of hearing the word peace. Our other lessons were a more lateral or a horizontal extension of peaceful reconciliation. But all of this begins with a top-down, divinely initiated refreshment that comes from above. Don't miss that connection. That the peace that goes out to the brotherhood first initiates by coming down from above. As I studied this, I not only remembered this proverb here, but as I studied this, I happened upon an Old Testament prophecy from a book that we very infrequently open, from Zechariah in chapter 8, about the new thing that God was going to do. "But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as in former days, declares the Lord." This is God speaking. And then he says this: "There will be a sowing of peace." I mean, I could do a sermon on each one of these clauses. And this is what happens on Resurrection Day: a sowing of peace. "There will be a sowing of peace. The vine," I am the true vine, "the vine shall give its fruit." Jesus breathes on them and they receive the Holy Spirit. "The ground shall give its produce." That's us. We are the recipients and we are to bear fruit for Him. And we're going to see in our passages that all of that lateral fellowship is the fruit of the peace that came down. And from the life of Christ and His Spirit that He breathed into us. "For there shall be a sowing of peace. The vine shall give its fruit. The ground shall give its produce. And the heavens shall give their dew." All of this is like the dew that falls upon the grass. The grace of God falling upon us. "And I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things." What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful picture of the new covenant. Of new covenant reconciliation. First, the reconciliation and peace that we have being justified by faith. We have peace with God. And then the peace and the reconciliation and the fellowship that we have with others. What a beautiful passage. And we get all of this. God's favor is like the dew upon the grass. It's reviving. It's refreshment. It's new life. And all this happens, and all of this is precious for anybody in any age, but it is especially precious for those who live in an arid, if you're from South Troy, that means a dry place, the dew on the ground. Especially precious if you live in an arid and an agrarian culture. A farming culture where you're relying on water to grow your food. In a place where from May to October, and I'm describing the promised land, from May to October, it's bone dry. And so dew from heaven is life. It is restoration, it's refreshment, it's resurrection, it's rebirth. It comes down from above. It's not man-made. But all this doesn't end there. Because when the dew comes down, communities are built and fellowships are formed and forgiveness is extended and food is shared. Dew has a very long and important history in the Old Testament. And I mean that literally and I mean that figuratively. Because this passage reminds me of the very first time that we witnessed this whole idea of dew. In the book of Genesis in 28, here you have this passage, 27 rather, in verse 28, where Isaac is blessing Jacob. So Isaac, and there's trickery there, and you know the whole story with Esau and all. "May God give to you the dew of heaven." Interesting that it would be phrased that way. Jacob, that you would be blessed. You would have the fatness of the earth and the plenty of grain and wine. You would have food from this. You would have produce from this. And what a picture that is of this right here. It is the dew of heaven, the breath of God, Jesus breathing upon them, a sowing of His peace, the vine giving life, and an abundance of grain and wine. That is the way that Isaac had blessed Jacob, with that picturesque language of dew from heaven. But later on, Esau, you know the story, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn. He was supposed to get the blessing. He wanted the blessing. He goes to Jacob, and this is what we hear Jacob providing to Esau as Esau looks for the same. In verse 39 of this passage, "Then Isaac his father answered him and he said, 'Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be.'" You're going to live in a dry and thirsty land, Esau. You're not getting the grain and the wine. You're not getting the fatness of the earth. "Away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven from on high." This very same picture of the dew coming down, bringing restoration and life and rebirth. And there's 1,000 other words we could add to this. Now, our heritage is one as of those who have been blessed with the dew of heaven. That's what our table is about. The dew of heaven is favor, and it is fellowship, and it is peace, and it is reconciliation. By the way, did you make note of the word fellowship in our 1 John lesson? If we look at verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard, which we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son." Fellowship as a part of the dew from above. And we want you to have it too, because we have received it from our Father. Because we have received it from Jesus. We have received it from the vine. There was this sowing of peace, and now there is fellowship. And in that same passage, a little farther on, in verse 6, we read, "If we say we have fellowship," there's the word fellowship again. In verse 7, we have the word fellowship again. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all of our sin." Our fellowship is a product. It's the result. It's a function of our fellowship with God. And it is a top-down reconciliation. It comes from Him. Remember chapter 2 and verse 2, where we have that favorite elementary school child's word, propitiation, the sacrifice which takes away wrath. That's who Jesus was. That's who Jesus is. And He sows peace where you would think there would be wrath. Because it was my sin that put Him on the cross. It was your sin that put Him on the cross. But He comes and He sows peace. Remember Proverbs 19 and 12 where we began? The king's wrath is like the growling of a lion. But Jesus didn't growl. He didn't growl at them, and He doesn't growl at us. And therefore, by the grace of God, we are not to growl at each other. His favor is like the dew upon the grass. And His remnant will be the recipient of all of these things. A reading from Acts shows us this incredible horizontal fallout from His blessing from on high that has come down to us. Because in this passage in Acts in chapter 4, it says that grace was upon them all. Let's read that again. "The full number of them who believed were of one heart and one soul. Nobody said that all the things that belonged to him were really their own, but that they had everything in common. And great power of the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, For as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds that were sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had any need. What a reconciliation and fellowship and sharing and a participation in the dew of heaven. Every lectionary lesson has a psalm attached to it. We sang it. And today is highlighting Psalm 133. And maybe you caught some of the lyrics as we sang Psalm 133, but let's look at verse 1, because it talks about fellowship. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell in unity. This byproduct of this sowing of peace. And then after verse 1, it gives us two top-down illustrations. The first one is oil, because verse 2 says this. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the collar of his robe. Now, if you can see the imagery there, it falls upon his head. It comes from above. It's top-down. And he's the high priest. He is the head of the body, so to speak, representing the whole of Israel. And it falls down upon his head, and it continues downward. It goes on to his beard, and then it goes on to the collar of the robe. And if you know anything about the high priest, he's got those 12 stones there representing the tribes of Israel. And so this oil, this refreshment, this life, this blessing, this dew from heaven is top down, and it falls on all the people. And if you think about Jesus as a high priest who was anointed by God, the end to which God's grace would fall upon all of us and bless all of us. A beautiful picture of oil, top down, from head to toe, from head to all the tribes, from our king to all the people. But it's not the only illustration. Next, not only do we have an illustration of oil, but who would guess? In verse 3, we have an illustration of dew. This blessing of God is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And we see the celebration on this Easter night. We see this idea here that eternal life has become visible. But can we look at this illustration a little bit more closely? We see dew there. Mount Hermon is the northernmost point in the whole of the Promised Land. It's about, at its highest point, it's really a mountain range, but at its highest point, it's about 9,000 feet. That's pretty high. The highest peak we have in New York is 5,000 and some change. 9,000 feet, usually covered completely with snow. And it is really the only constant, reliable source of fresh oil in the whole area. And the dews there are heavy and they are thick. And that's the description here. And so this water that is on Mount Hermon here flows down. And it is the waters from that mountain range that end up filling the Jordan River, which runs downward into the land where all of the Israelites live, all the way down to the foothills in Judah, from head to toe. You get the picture? All of Israel is blessed by the dew of heaven that falls on Mount Hermon. And so the same imagery of the high priest and this top-down blessing is here in this psalm, geographically described for us about how God blesses from above the entire nation of Zion, God's holy city, Jerusalem, in Judah. That is the picture. All the way to Jerusalem. All the way.